Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
On YouTube, on podcast, on live, this is Rebel Yell from the WFCSL. This is the Rebel Yell podcast, supported by MK Window Cleaning and Price Jones Electrical.
Welcome to episode 5 of the 23-24 season of the Rebel Yell podcast. And happy new year, guys. Jacko and Spencer, James here for episode 5. Happy new year. Did you have a good Christmas and new year?
Happy 2024. Yeah, it's good to be back at Woodside. New year.
Happy new year. Yeah, Christmas. Yeah, I'm not a fan of Christmas. The only thing, good thing for me was the football. The amount of football I got to watch over the festive period, you know. You can't beat Boxing Day football or New Year's Day football.
Love Boxing
Day. That is, I was working.
So, well, on holiday. No, but the thing is, I think what made it special as well was we won two, didn't we?
Doing a double over Eastbourne.
Yeah, so but that always helps. But no, there's something about this.
But, yeah, no, it's good. It's good. So we recorded in the middle of November, just before we got knocked out of the FA Trophy to Froome. Then we got knocked out the Sussex Cup at Littlehampton, by Littlehampton. So we're now cupless, but that means we can focus on the league. And as we say pretty much every month when we're talking about the football, it's a roller coaster again, hasn't it been the last few months, chaps?
I think we've been very consistent at being inconsistent. And, you know, and we had a chat before, just, you know, this league shows anybody can beat everybody. Mm. And it makes it exciting at times, but also frustrating.
Yeah, we've had our ups and downs, haven't we? You know, we've had a couple of defeats, but we've been playing generally good football. So that's what's important.
I mean, capping off, did you end up going to Western, Spencer? You did, didn't you?
Yeah.
No, you didn't, because I think everyone was fed up of going to the West Country.
Western is a bit.
It sort of capped, end of a, well, it wasn't a miserable run to the West Country in long fixtures, but we had so many of those fixtures in a row from September, October and November. I guess it was a frustrating end to that sort of period, because you don't, apart from Plymouth slash Truro this weekend, I think that's pretty much the last time till Yeovil at the end of the season, isn't it, that we're going down that
I
way?
I think it is.
But we, you know, let's get the bad ones out of the way. 4-0 lost to West on Tuesday night. Hinch obviously in his interview wasn't happy. We really, really apologised to the fans, and, you know, the players just didn't turn up that day.
Yeah, it's a long way for the players to travel on the Tuesday night. But
I think that's sort of his wanting to go full-time, because obviously if this was a full-time thing, you'd be going down probably the night before, wouldn't you?
Oh, it's funny you mention that, because wasn't it the owner of Kings Lynn who showed the cost of going away overnight?
Oh, yeah.
I think they went to Merseyside, so the cost was like $4,000. To stay overnight, including coaches and all that,
and they don't make any money from
it. And they're not making money, you know. And you think, "Poof, that's a lot of money to spend."
Am I right in thinking the National League pay a certain amount towards travel costs?
I don't know. I know that for the FA Cup they do, but I'm not sure.
Like the host club pays, don't they?
I think, but the FA pays as well. I think something towards it. I could be wrong, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, but then I say bad losses are frustrating losses. Say two. lost 2-0 away to Henwood just before Christmas, a nightmare before Christmas, as a couple of fans commented. It could have been probably a few more. We were lucky, and Rocco Reeves made some good saves to keep us in it. But it just, again, we started off well, but just couldn't get the ball in the back of the net. And then, you know, the usual story goes that, you know, they get a goal and sort of the heads drop. And, you know, it was just like a good turn up that day.
Yeah,
I weren't at that game, so I can't really.
I wasn't there, but you know, I sometimes I think when we go 1-0 down, we seem to be better.
We played better on that day.
No, especially early in the season, we need to go goal down to get motivated
to get going. Yeah. You know.
Yeah. I mean, it's the thing is, you're going to get these losses. I mean, we only had one 4-0 loss this period. We had four goals put past us a couple of times as well, but not the huge losses. And I guess this past weekend, losing 3-1 to Chelmsford, I wasn't
3-2.
Was it 3-2? Sorry, 3-2. Yeah. Sorry, 3-2. Oh, God, got to give us that goal. 3-2 to Chelmsford. Yeah, that was it. Because whoever was doing football web pages, I nearly had a heart attack. So it went 3-3 Worthing and then unknown goal scorer. I was like, oh, my God, we've actually done it at the last minute. Two minutes later, football web pages, correction, 3-2 Worthing full time.
I thought Ollie's goal was 96 minute or something.
Very last kick of the game, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But, you know, that game, we was absolutely dominated the second half.
I wasn't here again. I was...
Chelmsford had a corner. Ball come out from the corner and they rebuilt the play again from the corner and scored. And that was their... Make it 3-1 and that was them for the second half and game done.
Yeah, because I was at Southampton and within 30 seconds my phone beeped and I thought, oh, we're 1-0 down.
Yeah,
no.
It was like a brilliant start. And, you know, I don't think we played that well at the beginning of that game. And, you know, Hinch was showing his frustration in the dugout, wasn't he? You know, you could see he was frustrated in the interview after. You know, there must be times where he just bangs his head against the wall and goes, what do I do here to get us out of these silly...
But didn't he say something along the lines he doesn't know what to do to get the people going from the first second? But then again, I think, you know...
But then that's what your management team meant to do as well,
yeah,
you
but
know.
Yeah, but I liked the players...
Yeah, well, players at this level shouldn't need more defending.
No, they, you know, either you want it or you don't want it. Mm. And maybe, you know, the people who don't want it, let's be ruthless and bench him or get rid of them.
Yeah. And unfortunately, some are contracted. You know, it's not as easy when you go up the levels anymore. But let's look at the strong points. We're fourth in the National League South at the moment. As we're saying, it's crazy because, you know, I think from fourth where we are to the bottom is only about 13, 14 points to the relegation zone, which is crazy, which obviously does mean that you can't sit there and rest on your laurels. As we've seen, we got turned over 4-0 by Maidstone earlier in the season. We beat them 5-1 at home and they've just knocked Stevenage out of the FA Cup to reach round four.
I mean, it's crazy, isn't it?
And I thought they were going to get spanked by a League One team. They're doing okay.
Well, the away game, I thought Maidstone were so much better than us. They made us look like boys. And you know, yes, we got a red card as well. That didn't help, but we were losing anyway. And then here, at the home game, I wasn't confident.
That was a bit of a shambles.
And then suddenly, you know, 5-1, and we played such good football.
And it could have been more again. But the crazy thing is I know Hinch wanted to concede less goals, but as it stands, we're the fourth best goal difference in the league with plus 13.
Yeah,
and we've scored 53. Scored 53 against 40.
But I think we're either the sixth or the eighth worst defence in the league. Mm. And you know, yeah, we scored a lot of goals, but
Do we think now that Yeovil running away for it is kind of, might as well give them the trophy now, or do you think they can still get dragged into it? And then we're playing for a playoff place? Because I know, obviously, Hinch would score one better, and I know how frustrated he was last year, especially after that Taunton game. If we'd won that game, we could have avoided the eliminator and had a home tie for the second round of the playoffs. Is that our goal this season, do you think? Or do you think it still is the automatic promotion?
Personally, I'd say playoffs.
The second or third place?
I'm saying Yeovil being gone away with it, I don't think so, because there's still a lot can happen, still a long way to go. And saying anyone could beat anyone, you know, they could get injured, step up. You don't know what's going to happen. Whether it's us or not, I don't know. I think it's all key and good of the team to watch at the moment. We've had a dodgy result Saturday against Eastbourne. But no, I think we're strong contenders for playoffs.
Yeah. I think that second or third place would be definitely a goal for us because it avoids that eliminator.
I think you want to become second, because if you're second, then you got the final at home.
You want home advantage,
and you know, look what it did to Dorking that day when they won it. But you know, look, let's do the playoffs. and have a nice away day again.
That would be nice. That would be nice. And just like that, with the most perfect timing, the gaffer, Adam Hinchwood, appears in the room. You couldn't have timed that perfectly because I was about to do a cut. Well, to cut into the interview. He's coming right time.
There we go.
We've got him live. Well, live, as live. Record it as live. Is that what I do? Firstly, happy birthday for yesterday.
Yeah.
Did you have a good day?
Yeah, lovely. 20,
I thought it was 21 again.
Yeah, 21 plus 19.
Yeah. Did you have a good one?
Yeah, lovely, thanks, yeah.
What did you go up to? Did you go out for a meal or something?
On Saturday, yeah, a few of the boys in that calm and, family.
Well, it's your superstar son, Jack, at the moment.
Oh, yeah.
He's absolutely smashing it in the Premier League, isn't he, mate? Like, congratulations. Yeah, proud father and proud family moment there. I was in Italy just between Christmas and New Year. I sent you a pitch, didn't I? Yeah. I was like, couldn't believe I was just watching Sky Sports Italia. And I know it's a Premier League game, but then you got Jack Hinchinwood appears on the screen. I just thought, it's sort of a pinch me moment when you see that, isn't it? Following in the footsteps of his dad and granddad and everything like that, eh?
Spent all his time out on that pitch at Woodside as a youngster, didn't he? Smashing the ball in. Obviously, it's really nice to see and getting to follow him around and watch him a bit over Christmas was lovely, to be fair.
And now let's move on to Worthing, is what you're here for. How would you sum up? We always ask you, how would you sum up the last sort of since we recorded mid-November? I'd say a roller coaster, a bit up and down.
Been a lot of football since. Yeah.
How would you summarise it if you could say last 2 months?
Yeah, I think it's followed a similar pattern all season, really. Couple of good performances, and then whenever we've got an opportunity to make a mark and get closer and, go second, we just seem to fall a bit short for whatever reason. Mm. It's a real frustration, really. But maybe just a sign of just where we are as a club at the moment.
You can tell in your post-match interview on after Saturday's game against Chelsea, you can tell the emotion and sort of, frustration in your interview afterwards. How was it like, Ricky leaving? Massive night for the club. It's such a shame that they've come in for it, and it's frustrating to see him go on the bench on their game. you think you're going to put, because Swindon aren't performing very well at all. Did you know that was coming? Did you have suspects? And or was it just a big
no? Completely out of the blue. We had training on the Thursday, and literally about an hour before you're getting ready to prepare for a session on Thursday for the game Saturday, and come in and find out that he's been recalled, really.
That just throws all your plans for the game out.
Yeah, a little bit. Still other players and that come in, don't they? But I think that would just sum it up for me, really. Gone from club captain doing his ACL and out for the season. It just seems to be right. Okay, get over that hurdle and get a team together, and then, like I said, after the Eastbourne game, it felt like everyone was together and there's good togetherness and good team spirit. And then another big player, for a completely different reason, is out of your plans in your squad again as well. So it just seems like a lot of that this season. We're still fighting away. Somehow still fourth. But maybe it's just a sign of where we've got to as a club, really. It seems everyone's a little bit disappointed. Doom and gloom, and we're National League South, fourth in the league. Had 1,900 people and 1,700 people turn up to a game. We're in a league with Torquay, Yeovil, Maidstone.
And we're above most of those as well.
And
that's not bad.
No, that's what I mean, but,
Is it your want to do better and like get the club as high as you can? And you just feel, you see some of the comments online, some of the things around, and it's just frustrating from your part. Obviously, what you see on the pitch, and you we've seen it in your interviews after the game that like you obviously will be frustrated as a manager when you throw away leads or you can't get back into the game, or you had a perfect opportunity like on Saturday to go second in the league if we win, but we're stuck in fourth. Is it when you see all that's just a mixture of emotions? You're like, what do you want me to do?
Honestly, I don't. I've come like completely off social media now, so I don't look at no something. Not because of any reason. Just I felt like I was just wasting my time, really, and days off. And
it's the devil sometimes.
Yeah, so I just completely.
It's the keyboard warriors all around. Keyboard warriors. They have an opinion about
everything.
It wasn't even
me looking at posts about Worthing and the team and stuff. It wasn't even that. It was just I was finding I was just scrolling for hours upon end. It's and
pointless, isn't
it? Yeah, and just, it was not good, really. So, just, yeah, keep the come off it. So, it's not, nothing to do with, like, what I read and stuff like that. Just I think, expectation of how the games have gone, I think. I think, in the main, haven't really seen a team that's played better football than us, created more chances. I feel we've been one of the best teams in the league in terms of football-wise. Even Saturday, you look at the stats, I think we had 68% possession, 580-odd passes, 22 crosses, but they had 4 shots on target, we had 3. So, you know, we've got to find a way to make more purpose with all this possession. And, you know, we've got to make sure we have 22 crosses that we're working the goalkeeper more than 3 times. Yeah.
Talk about goalkeepers. You signed from Southampton, a young lad to from Mumford, I understand. Yeah. What was the sort of reasoning behind that? Was it to give competition to Rocco and sort of put a bit of pressure on? And if he impresses, will it be a longer loan or are you not sure yet?
No, yeah, just I thought Rocco all season has not really had that competition, and just for his own
development,
yeah, more than anything, that every other player has had that competition and know that if they're not doing it, then they're going to be out of the team. I think he went through a bit of a bad period, and I thought that would have been the wrong time to bring a new goalkeeper in when he's on a bit of an up and he's kept a couple of clean sheets and probably had 2 very good games. Thought it would be a good time to really challenge him and give him that competition. And yeah, I'm hoping and seeing training, it seems to improve his levels and stuff like that, because you know that you're not just going to be selected week in, week out. And I think if anyone gets that, then you can get a little bit complacent. So I thought it was the right time to you know, just all fit into place. We're able to bring in a good goalkeeper and give Rocco the competition that he needs.
With Ricky obviously gone now, is there any replacements possibly coming in, or is that sort of not really where you've been looking at the moment, or is it sort of, is it firmly transfers, firmly sort of finished now for the season? It's
no, it's tough on that side of it, because we got such a good deal, I think, to bring Ricky in.
To get someone that quality is going to be...
It's
pretty much is irreplaceable, isn't it?
In terms of, like, what the club, the deal the club got, then, yeah, I would agree.
We ain't getting anything for that money.
Nah.
Yeah, also, don't fall in love with a loan player. But Ricky, I think it's a good thing for him. He had a good 5-6 months with us, and now he's been recalled.
Yeah.
Which is good for him. For us, it's a bit... Not the best thing, but
you just feel like you know you've got someone on the season long loan. He's halfway through the season. He's a midfield player. He's got 11 goals. God knows how many assists.
He's becoming one of the most important players in the team.
Have a lot of goal contributions through Ricky. Not saying that he's a one man team by any stretch of imagination, but to have that amount of quality was obviously...
You seem proper gutted about it, though. Were you, like, proper gutted that you, like...
A bit of shock, like, not gutted, because obviously he gets recalled because he's doing well, so...
Yeah, exactly, definitely.
100%. And with that, you know, it's going to give other people an opportunity now to come in and showcase what they can do. So, yes, how we've got to look at it, but... there's been a few sort of frustrations like that really that's happened and sort of just seemed to get a bit of momentum and then get a bit of a kick in. It seems to happen a little bit like that this season, but we're not going to cry about it. We'll get on, we'll keep working and doing all we can to finish with as many points as we can.
So looking forward to this weekend, the penultimate longest trip of the season, because you've got obviously Yeovil at the end of the season, but another long West Country day on down to Plymouth for Truro on Saturday. Fully expecting a good reaction from the team, like, you know, bounce back from the frustrating defeat on Saturday?
Yeah, we're going to be a little light again. Nicky Wheeler's away on his honeymoon now, which he did tell me about in the summer, but it's another one.
Like Aaron on his cruise last year, wasn't it?
They tell you, and it's like, oh yeah, yeah.
And then you forget.
Yeah, of course you're gonna have 2 weeks of a
journey. It's almost like you knew it's true.
Yeah, I know. But then it comes around, and you're like, oh, brilliant. And I think Luque's away, so missing them. We've got a left winger, then Michael Klaas is still really ill, looking at tonight. Yeah, opportunity will knock for one or two players. But, yeah, like I say, we'll still go down there and try and give our all and try and come away with 3 points. But it's not always been the case this year. But, yeah, like I say, we're not ones to hide behind all these different factors. You've got to get on with it, and we will.
Well, from a fan perspective, it's been really good to see some youngsters come in and be given opportunity, you know.
Yeah.
So Chadwick's come in, Ruben's come back. Ollie was back
Saturday,
and Zach James on the bench on Saturday, wasn't he?
No, yeah.
Do you expect Zach to sort of maybe make his way into the squad, starting the substitute appearances in the near future?
Yeah, he's been excellent
on the bench,
season,
hasn't he? Yeah.
Been excellent all season, trained well. It's just a matter of time before he gets his opportunity, really. That's where we'll go. Obviously, with that, you get a real... probably don't get the consistency if you got that many of them all playing at the same time. I think we're playing a team that's in around us in the playoffs, and we have finished with Ollie Starkey, Finney Chadwick, Joe Rye. They've all come through our youth team. We've got Zach on the bench. So, it's important we don't shy away from that and still give these lads an opportunity, because this, as a club, what we believe in, as a manager, what I believe in. At the same time, it's important that you spend a minute at the right time and plan at the right time. And I think it's become more of a need and a necessity going into this Saturday, rather than, you know, bringing them in because it's the right time for them to play. So with that comes opportunities, and, you know, you're just hoping that, Like Finley Chadwick, I think, has done well when he's come in. So you just hope they take their opportunities when they get them.
Yeah, you want them to come in, you want them to be keen and
I think Finley offers us something a bit different. He's exceptionally good in the air. He's got a left foot. So there's two attributes there straight away that really bolster our squad. You know, with that, he can be tenacious. He's got good qualities. I feel nice and calm when he's bouncing the ball out of the back. He knows the patterns, knows the pitches that we're looking for, and I definitely feel there could be a top talent there.
Yeah. And any other player news at the moment, like injuries or around the squad? Is it sort of most of everyone else okay?
Yeah, Day's picked up a bit of a knee problem now, so there's another one going into Saturday that we could be without. And that's about it, really.
So we don't want icy pitches. That'll do even worse for the
team. We could potentially got to sit down with Nath probably tomorrow and go through what options we've got. At the same time, I don't want to just bring in a player for the sake of it. I want it to be someone that's going to really... Because 2 weeks' time, we'll have Luque back, we'll have Nicky Wheeler back. Don't think Michael's not going to be too long. He's a couple of weeks away, and Cash should be back up to fit. Jake Robinson, with another couple of weeks of training and getting his game time, will hopefully be a lot better. So then if we add two or three lone players to that again, we've then got a really heavy squad. So we just got to maybe manage it over the next couple of weeks until we get everybody back out and available.
Well, Adam, it's good to see you. Good luck for the rest of the month. We'll speak to you next month, and hopefully still riding high in the National League South.
Yeah, hopefully. We'll keep trying, keep plugging away, and hopefully get a few more 3 points on the board.
Yeah, hopefully up to that one better than last year, as you were saying. Your goal, wasn't it?
Yeah,
definitely
keep
around
on improving.
That. Well, as you see, Saturday we could have been up there into second place.
Yeah.
So let's hold. Let's hope that happens. But Adam, thank you very much, and happy New Year.
No
to
problem.
You.
Yeah.
Happy
and
birthday,
you
and we'll see you soon.
Thank you. Cheers.
This is the Rebel Yell Podcast.
Thanks to Adam for sitting down with us again this episode of Rebel Yell Podcast, guys. Just me, he just felt a bit crestfallen, didn't he? He felt a bit gutted. I think losing Ricky has obviously, you know, affected his plans. You know, and he said he got a really good deal originally, and we're not going to get anyone of that class for the deal we had. He seemed proper gutted.
Yeah, just had a loss as well. You know, he could sit on Saturday, his body language, he wasn't best pleased. And I think the podcast is always a bit easier when we've just come back off the back of a win rather than
Would have been nice to record it after the Eastbourne double, wouldn't it?
But, you know, I think he's got a lot on his shoulders as well, Adam. You know, he wants the best for the club. He wants the best for the players. And I think he's shown in his post-match interviews that he's frustrated with the players and the way, you know, and maybe other things we don't know about. And obviously, you know, it's a hard job. I wouldn't want his job.
I couldn't do his job, to be fair.
I couldn't do his job. But like I said, you know, for Ricky to go back, yeah, he was an important player for us, but it showed that he...
It's pretty true. Spencer just put his double hoodie on. I think I might put mine on as well.
That he done well for us. But the funny thing is, though, I saw a lot of comments. The Swindon Town supporters are very split about him.
About Ricky?
Yeah, 50-50, I would
say. Yeah, but the thing is, they've got to give him a chance. They literally, he's come back, and I was looking. My mate's at Swindon's. That's how I found out he's going back. I remember messaging you guys. And the thing is, he's got to give him a chance. Yeah, he's excelled at National League South, but Swindon are struggling in League Two. It could be a National League club if they're not careful.
He's barely played for them.
He came on for 20 minutes, and yeah, he didn't do anything. But what can you do in 20 minutes when you're losing anyway? Oh, I think they conceded in the last minute or something. I think Cowley's new team. It was Colchester or something. He's playing.
It's a shame he's gone. And I think there was one player I would have liked back. But
well, he still never bloody came on Rebel Yell, did he? Like he avoided that with like the plague, didn't he? Like he did the first time he was in the club spin.
Yeah, I think that's best not spoken about when we tried to get him on the first time.
Yeah, he ran away and he ran away. Nathan wasn't best pleased. He was like, "I'm really sorry." I was like, "Oh, bloody Ricky." But anyway, good luck to Ricky. And yeah, it's going to be interesting to see because. You know, that double over Eastbourne was fantastic. You know, 7 goals past them. They're a full-time team, and we were the end of the final nail in the coffin for their manager, Mark Beard, who got sacked after that game.
We won 7-0, but don't want to speak out of turn, but they were not great. You know, I thought at the home game, the first 25, 30 minutes, they were good.
Yeah.
Then we scored and the heads dropped, and then it was quite easy. And then when we're there, the away game, you know, thought after we scored a penalty, I thought they're still giving it a goal. And then the second half, we just completely outplayed them. And I think you're to blame for Beard getting sacked in it within an hour after the match. Yeah.
Sacked in 10 minutes, getting sacked in 10 minutes.
The players' heads were down, weren't they? The fans weren't behind them. The fans were really quiet and started leaving quite early.
There was no atmosphere. It felt like a pre-season friendly at one stage.
I was speaking to some... That's a more mature gentleman before the game, Eastbourne supporters. And they were saying, I really hope we get absolute tongue today because that means he is going, Beard. Mm. You know, and for people, for your fans to say that, I think that must be really bad then.
A couple of my friends who are in around a non-league game, they definitely thought that he wouldn't be sacked because they thought it was a long-term goal. And I said, well, I'm not sure. Then literally minutes after him saying that, he was gone. So, yeah.
Well, I think obviously, they're on their third manager of the season. And I think they always speak about...
No, not third, that's their second.
No, it's the third.
Who's the second?
The second one was the captain who was injured at the home game against us.
Anyway,
for 20 hours, though.
But I'm sure since the new owner came in, I'm sure he's always spoken about the project. It just makes me laugh.
Data-driven project.
It just makes me laugh when you have, you know, owners and chairman and things talk about projects and then just change managers every 5 minutes because that's not sticking with the project, is it?
Merry-go-round, isn't it?
Yeah, but I think he had to because they were going down. If Beard stayed, I think they would have gone down.
We're interested to see how this guy from Fylde, if he can revive their fortunes. They've got a tough job ahead of him, you know, them and haven't. I mean, personally, if we're to stay in National League South next season, I'd rather they stayed up because then we're going to have no local derbies at all if they go down. If haven't go down and they go down, it's going to be a West Country all over, isn't it? West Country and sort of Kent.
There's no Sussex or Surrey.
I think you need a bit of local rivalry.
Yeah,
you know, is it local? Yeah,
that's why I miss Lewis. I miss Bognor. You know, we always say there's too many chants still sung about Bognor. But you know, at the end of the day, I do miss those because you know those derbies. You know, even they had something to play for. Even Lewis, you know, we love going to Dripping Pan. I know you like going there, Spence.
But you know, yeah, that's lovely group.
He
doesn't quite go and watch football at the Dripping Pan.
It's now the vegan Dripping Pan, veganuary. Have you seen that? They're going Forest Green.
Yeah.
I
I don't like the dripping pen. I just think it's a horrible ground. I just don't like it.
It's a little bit weird, but it's quirky. It's quirky. But anyway, this is not a non-league generic podcast. That's the other one. The Premier non-league podcast you got to listen to for that one. But yeah, it's going to be interesting. I think, yes, as Adam said, like there's going to be some people missing on Saturday. So let's see how we do and turn around. But good fortune is at the moment, women have not... We haven't got John on or any player on tonight because originally, the night we recorded, Tuesday night, it was meant to be an under-18s game with men's training just before, and the women are training down at Worthing Leisure Centre tonight, so logistically, we can't get John on before his podcast is due out. But, Jaco, what were the sort of fixtures? We recorded at the end of November, so...
I think the end of November... hold on. Just the other way around.
Oh, is your phone going down?
We're not doing this on the fly, ladies and gentlemen.
So, obviously, we played at home against Norwich, it was 1-1.
Fresh Portsmouth.
And then we fresh Portsmouth, but I think there was a friendly. But I think I went to that game, and I think that the difference, we were far superior. Then Ashford Town, unfortunately, we lost 2-1. And then Cambridge City at home, 4-0, which was a quite funny one because there was a postponed game, wasn't it? Because Cambridge didn't have a goalie.
That was the game that was rearranged because they didn't have a goalie the first time round.
And then I think the weekend was a 4-2 win. The first game of 2024, 4-2.
Away at Chesham, really good result.
Yeah, so, and I think, if I'm right, I think they're third in the league. And I think, which is a great result for first time in the league.
We must have some games in hand.
We've got a
semi-final coming up as well in the Women's Sussex Senior.
Yeah.
At New Haven. So if we win that, that's a final, which will be down at Culver Road, I think.
Yeah, I think so. But no,
okay, we need to have a cup final this season, don't we? Because the men haven't done it. We've got to have the women.
I don't want but we had so many good years. The last couple of years for the men's team have been there.
But I like a cup final. I mean, if we get to Sussex Senior Cup final for the women's, I'd like glory under the head. But I've never been to Yamex for our finals there, so, you know. But Becky Bath, after appearing on the Rebel Yard podcast, just gone to another level. All those goals she's scoring.
She's an amazing player.
Interesting. Do you see this month's player, goal of the month? She's in there. I voted for her because I think her goal was the best goal.
Really good to see her nominated for goal of the month.
Yeah, she's a good player. She always impressed me. And she likes to score a goal.
So we'll make sure next month we get John and the player on a big bumper special in February. We'll get them on to update us. Guys, so this month is obviously a little bit different. We've got Keith Mitchell joining us, who's the general manager. And we thought between ourselves, like we know Keith. We've liaised with him a lot, and he's a good guy. He's definitely an asset for the club. But for a lot of the fans still don't know him very well, or because he's so new to the club, or don't know what the general manager role is about. So we thought, why not sit down with him, first one of this new year, and hear what Keith is and who he is and what he brings to the club in the role of general manager. So let's sit down with Keith now.
This is the Rebel Yell podcast.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Nice to finally be joined. But I say finally, you've not actually been invited by us until now, have you? But nice to have you, Keith Mitchell, General Manager of Worthing FC. You've been here a few months now, haven't you? And we've been pretty lapsed, haven't we, Spencer? We haven't even bothered to ask him if he'd like to come on the podcast. A bit rude about that.
Yeah, you know, we keep the important people further down the list, don't we?
Of course, we've got to have some content in the new year. Do you know what I mean? That's why we do it, Keith. Yeah,
Yeah, I think you saved the best till last, haven't you?
Course, so, yeah. Well, George is on after you, and he's a CBE, so...
MBE, but yeah.
MBE. Anyway, Keith, welcome to the Rebel Yell podcast.
Thank you.
Thanks for agreeing to come on with us. I think we just really thought it'd be a good idea. Lots of people are starting to get to know you around the place, because obviously, as you know, Worthing, it's a small club, but sort of big hearts and big family. Just tell us a little bit about yourself. Like, so what brought you to Worthing, really? What's your sort of history?
Okay, well, I've always been involved in kind of sports, recreation and leisure. That's always been my thing. I was previously general manager at Sandown Park Racecourse. I presented the Royal Box to the Queen for the 2017 Derby at Epsom. Various other stints in five-a-side football, about 11 or 12 years there. That's where I originally crossed paths with Barry Hunter.
Okay.
So we worked for, I guess, rival companies at that time, and we both worked in the same kind of field of trying to get contracts. And I think if he's going to listen to this, which he will do, I think it was 2-0 or maybe 3-0 to me in the times that we went head-to-head. I'm sure he'll have a view on that.
We'll have to give him a right to reply, won't we, Spence?
Yeah.
I think we can close the door on that one there. So obviously met Barry there through about 11 or 12 years in that business. And then went across to Saudi Arabia and worked on the world's largest sustainable project in NEOM, in the northwest corner of Saudi Arabia. Which was an eye-opener, as you can imagine. Fantastic experience. I was out there for 3 years. Unfortunately, my dad passed away in last year, or 2022 now as it is. So I came back home, really, just to make sure I was a bit closer to my mum. 4,500 miles away is a bit too far to travel to make sure she's okay. I've got three kids from my first marriage that live up in Rochester, and I'm a Bournemouth boy. Originally, so if you draw a line between Bournemouth and Rochester, the halfway point happens to be bang in Worthing.
Very convenient for us.
Yeah.
Very convenient. Yeah. Everything happens for a reason. So, and so basically the stars aligned, really. And, there was a phone call that came once I was back in the UK from an agent saying that, there was an opportunity to come and work at Worthing Football Club. Barry's name came up. So obviously I had a conversation with Barry about it. And what's that, about 8 or so months later, here we are.
Has it been, it must, you know, you've also, has it worked for Guildford Flames as well, the ice hockey, is that right?
Yeah, I was head of operations at Guildford Spectrum as well. So, yeah, and obviously they've got the professional ice hockey team there, Guildford Flames. They get about 2,500 fans to every home game as well. So overseeing all those operations as well, obviously, it's probably stood me in quite good stead, as well as the race courses, for doing this kind of thing.
So saying this sort of thing then, so give us a bit of an insight into what the general manager role involves. What are you doing here? Like, you know, what are you doing here?
But no, I think it's because it is one of those things that it's a lot of people, not offensively, we're like, what is the actual general manager? What areas do you cover around the ground? Because I don't think we've ever really had you fully introduced and what your role is. So I don't know if it's the first time we've had a proper interview that the fans will be able to listen to. Am I right in thinking? I don't know. Yeah. And it's nothing against what you do, because we know what you do. But a lot of fans are like, oh, because the last general manager, you know, didn't get to know the fans as well as maybe should have done. And we've seen a change with you. You're always walking around and stuff. So just tell us, like, if it was advertised tomorrow as a new job, what would it be?
Well, it's a lot more than what I thought it was going to be, put it that way. I think one of the things that attracted me to this in the first place was the fact that I could see this as more of a project than a job. You know, I had various job offers when I came back. But this was the one that kind of tantalized me a little bit in terms of a project, something I could get my teeth into. And obviously, having come from Saudi, where I was working on a big project, I'd kind of got my head around doing something that was leading somewhere, as opposed to just doing something which was a bit of a groundhog day. So, in terms of what this job's actually evolved since I've taken it over, I think really, I think my predecessor did a good job in taking us to where we were. But I think that it probably needed a slightly different viewpoint in terms of taking it forward to where we want to be. And that's the project piece. So I think it really is about, obviously Hinch and Nathan and the guys do the on the pitch stuff, you know, the football side of things. So when you think of a football club, it's everything other than that. So the general manager role is literally anything you see, do, or come into contact with that's anything other than a ball being kicked on the pitch would fall under the general manager's remit.
So when you walked in the first day, what did you think of the place? Like, you know, obviously non-league football is obviously completely different because you've not worked in football as such at this level, have you? Obviously quite a well-run club as it is and a club on the up. What were your first thoughts when you walked through the gates?
I was impressed. I mean, there's a lot of good things that already happened, you know, or were in the process of happening. And obviously, historically, you know, the club's got really good heartbeat within the community. That was obvious straight away. Great volunteer base, great fan base. So there was a lot to like. You know, you walk in and you see a really nice stadium. You see really nice people, friendly faces. Very much a welcoming environment, really. So it's hard not to like it. You know, even if you wanted to sort of think, hang on a second, what have I let myself in for here? It's easy to remind yourself what those things are. You know, and think, actually, yeah, it felt like home pretty quickly. You know, moving to Worthing as well, don't forget, at the same time, because obviously not being a Worthing boy, moving from a different country, moving back from Bournemouth to here, and starting a new job all at the same time, it can, you know, it's two big things you do, right? Is move house and start a new job. So to do those two things simultaneously in an environment in which I hadn't worked in before, you need those things on your side. And it was good. It was really nice to see such a welcoming environment. And straight away, I could see the opportunity.
That's really, really, really good to hear. Obviously, one of the things that's gone on and is going on since your arrival is various sort of works around the ground. So, you know, we've seen work sort of start and develop kind of fan zone and the bar. The plans have been in and approved for the new stand at the West End. So can you just give sort of some more details of sort of like where we are with that and sort of what's coming, especially regarding the new stand? Because for fans, it's the real talking point.
Okay, well, let me see what I can do to answer some of those things. So, and actually just going back, James, to one of your previous question about the general manager thing, that actually fits quite nicely with that question, Spencer, as well. So really there's three key things that I'm focusing on, you know, and that is the match day experience. You know, improving what we do. Obviously, the ground grading and development. And also the driving of the revenue off the pitch to enable Hinch and Nathan have the best possible player budget that they can do to evolve things on the pitch. So this is very much a symmetry and how things move from one to the other. So, going back to that question, the ground grading and the ground development part of that, is more around based around things that we have to do to be compliant. You know, we're focusing on National League. If not this season, then I'm sure it's only a matter of time. So we're getting kind of ready for that and making sure that we are whenever that is, whether it's for next season or thereafter. So those are the compliance pieces and the things that we have to do. So we have to put more toilets in. We have to put more turnstiles in. We have to find another access point. We have to obviously make sure we have capacity for 4,000 people in the ground as opposed to the 3,100 we have now, which is a different thing from what we're actually doing in terms of that fans experience, that match day experience. So for example, the West End that you mentioned, Spencer, that's not an essential that we do that. We don't have to do that to be compliant. That's something where we've taken and said, well, actually that's on the list of things that we would like to do to improve the match day experience. So that falls under that bracket. So you'll have seen in the recent commentary that that's a 50 metres wide stand. So if you picture that, say the pitch is 65 metres, you're only losing about 7.5 metres off either side. So it's a significant improvement on what I believe was probably about 15 or so metres previously. And it's also terraced, right? So it's tiered as well. So there is going to be standing for probably 3 or 4 deep in terms of that area as well going up. So obviously, arguably, not only have you got a cover, but you've got a better viewing experience as well, because at the moment, obviously, it's all on one level. So that's exciting. We're on schedule to have that completed by the end of March. That remains the case.
When the weather gets nicer.
When the weather gets nicer. Well, the thing is, what we've also got to consider is that, you know, there's obviously an impact on operations on AR capacity whilst we have to close that area of the ground to do that. It's ultimately going to be a building site. Yeah. So we've got to be mindful of that. So the less time that we do that for, the better, right? I mean, in theory, we could start digging holes and doing some excavation works tomorrow. But if it's not going to be finished at the end of March, then we're still restricted by that, you know, by the way that that moves forward. So obviously, we're probably going to be looking for early to mid-February to start the actual spade in the ground stuff. But that will still keep us on track for the end of March. So that's exciting for the fans. I think everyone's looking forward to, as you rightly said, as we're looking forward to that. And obviously, historically, April's the wettest month of the year. So fingers and toes crossed. If that happens to be the case this year, then we'll be in good shape.
Good testing for it. And you said you actually put the terracing in as part of the development.
Yeah.
Because I know there was a talk about possibly just putting the stand cover in, and then if we get promoted, because it wasn't necessary. But that's going to be good for the viewing experience.
Yeah, very much so. It's better than the flat ground.
Yeah, I think we took a view on it. I mean, the board took a view that you know, we looked at the maths, we looked at the fans' experience, we felt that the variable in cost between not having a terraced stand and having a stand itself would actually, you know, would be worth it from a match day experience. So that's the kind of thing I'm talking about. So when we think about match day's experience for all of the fans, you know, the board, I've got that in mind. You know, we're sitting and considering, you know, what would be better, and is that worth that extra investment in order to make something that much better?
I'm guessing so. With time, like you say, if the area's got to be closed off for building work anyway, then it's worth the may as well be done while the roofing works.
Exactly. Well, I mean, look, if we went back retrospectively and put the terracing in afterwards, we'd have to, you know, we'd basically have to almost pull down what we put up in the first place just to put it back up again.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, because it's all prefabricated. Yeah. So yeah, you have to pull it out to pull it back in again and then start again. So, you know, and then you've got another 4 or 5 week disruption.
Yeah.
And it just didn't seem to make sense to us.
And in terms of other things around the ground, obviously, we know the planning's been given to do the fan zone roof and everything like that. When do you expect that to be done by? Is that going to be done by April, or that be more by the summer, do you think?
Yeah, no, I think we've targeted that for the close season.
Okay.
I think it's part of a bigger picture, really. So the fan zone, in terms of the outdoor area that you're referring to, which is the covered space by the container bar. We've also been working with our stakeholders in the gym, and we've actually now got ourselves in a position, Dan and Dave have been really helpful there, in allowing them now, they have a bespoke smaller gym space right at the end. And we now have therefore seconded and taken back the larger space. There's a new dividing wall in there. So we've got an area now that we can develop in terms of what was the old clubhouse, if you like. We can now develop that and align that with what we're doing in the fan zone. So the fan zone outside space is going to be a closed season scenario. And shortly thereafter, the hope is that we'll be able to get something in place in terms of the actual clubhouse development itself. So reception, hospitality, those kind of things that we'd love to do as a club, as you know. And as we continue to meander our way towards professionalism, that's one of the things that we want to try and do. So what we're thinking about is not just the fan zone from an outdoor offering perspective on match days, which is great, but going back to that other area, if you like, the revenue driver, the how it looks and feels as part of a football club, a proper reception area, hospitality space, you know, multifunctional areas, bookable spaces. Mm-hmm. All of these things are being considered, not just about the fan zone outdoors, how that would then work and fit with something inside.
And is there any other works that you can give a little preview of that might be coming soon, or is that the sort of two main projects that we're focusing on in the next year for the club and match day experience?
Well, I mean, obviously they're two that are in the public domain at the moment. We have, as you rightly said, got the applications approved for both of those. But going back to the compliance piece, things that we must do, obviously we mentioned the capacity of 4,000. Now, anyone that's been to the ground will know that it's going to be pretty tight to fit 4,000 people in with what we've got.
I could not think.
Yeah, breathe in.
Yeah, everybody breathe in.
I must lose that weight now in the year.
So obviously, you know, the obvious option for us is to look at the north side. We've got a development opportunity there. So certainly within our mapping of what we do to enable us to get to that National League level. Of course, we've got to look at 4,000. How are we going to get that? We've got to look at doing something at the north side. So behind the scenes, at the moment, there are already discussions and plans and things being pulled together of what that might look like. Oh, but too early to share what they are.
Excited, but obviously we know things like that are needed, and we've known over the years speaking to Barry and stuff that north side of the ground has got quite a good potential. It does go back quite a long way that people don't really know. So I think it would be nice to see that done when it is. just talking about sort of fan experience stuff, obviously segregation, you're segregating the Torquay game, you've decided. How did you make the decision of who and why segregate? Because Torquay, I don't really think they pose much of a threat to us as fans, but obviously you've made a decision on different advice. What would you say? Well, how did you make that decision and why?
Yeah, I mean, it's a good point. I mean, what you'll have noticed, we've actually got some really good quality segregation fencing up now as well. We've had that put up. We wanted to make sure that was up in advance of some of the games. We obviously had the Oval, which was a recommended. I'll come back to your question in a second, James. So we had the Oval game was a recommended segregation match. We had something which was a bit of a trial in there to see what would work and what we were, and basically it worked exactly how we wanted it to. It showed us what we needed. So obviously we worked quite quickly off the back of that. You'll have noticed that if you were here for the Oval game, by the time you came back for the next match, there was the actual bespoke, you know, segregation fencing was in place, which is great. And it's, I think it looks good.
So when you say it was recommended segregation, so where does that recommendation come from? So the other football club, the authorities?
So it's a bit of everything. So we have a criteria. So we try and keep as objective with this stuff as we can. And I'll give you an example. So last year, my understanding is that the Eastbourne games were segregated here and there. Now, I know that there was probably last year was off the back of the Dover experience. There's probably a little bit of a knee-jerk reaction there to segregate, and probably Eastbourne was the game after that, so I get that. But then Eastbourne then segregated us, and then we segregated, and it was a bit like, well, you did, so we are. We wanted to get away from anything that was subjective like that. You know, we wanted to actually base it on some criteria and say, look, you know, if something was to go wrong at one of these matches, we need to have a due diligence in place. What mitigations, what processes did we follow? So we have to have some kind of structure to enable that. So that's off police liaison advice. That's off recommended any history between the two teams or two sets of fans. And also weight of numbers on potential fan numbers arriving. So that was, for example, why we segregated Yeovil. And the recommendation for Torquay is very much the same, is that they could bring 250 upwards. They do have a potential element that might travel. And I think when you know that kind of thing, if you don't do it and then something happens, then the questions get asked. Well, we gave you the intel to suggest that that would be a recommendation to do so. You chose not to do it. Now you've got egg on your face. So we would just, I mean, at the end of the day, we talked about match day experience. That's everything. That's the operations of how we run a match day. Whether that's you know, queuing to get a burger or queuing to get a pint, or being able to watch a game without having to worry about somebody pushing and shoving and, you know, and somebody getting something getting out of hand. So all these decisions we make are in the interests of safety first and foremost, and obviously, as we mentioned, that fan experience.
And with obviously we're getting a new stand on the other end, I think planning went in at the same time to get permission, am I right? Or it was thinking about to get something for that segregated area, because it would be nice for the away fans to have some cover of the weather. Is anything going ahead with that or not quite yet?
It's on the radar. Again, we've got to make sure that we've got to do the bits and pieces that we have to do first. We wanted to make sure that that wasn't just a 10-minute, sort of a 10-meter or 15-meter sort of token gesture at the end. We wanted to make sure it's something which is a substantial improvement. Yeah. You're right, as part of that, that planning application and planning approval, we do have the other half of the east end covering approved. So the good news is that we can do that when we can do it. But in the pecking order, there's other things that we obviously want to do first. And the compliance piece, for example, getting to a capacity of 4,000 would take precedence over that.
Any more games you're thinking about this season? Segregation, you know, off the top of your head, after Torquay?
Just off that, I mean, what we do is we apply the same principle for every game. So that criteria will be applied. I would suggest the next one will probably be Dover in February.
Yeah, I think that's needed.
Yeah, I think.
After what happened last time, you can make it even. Pen them into half the size they deserve. Or no, actually,
they were fine.
Yeah, it's a shame because when I went to the away game and you went there as well, the fans were actually really nice. It was just actually a bunch of idiots that were banned from the home that let the side down. Unfortunately, someone felt the wrath of that.
Yeah, I think the thing is, I mean, we try not to make those decisions. We seek the same advice, you know, as we say, from all the stakeholders that are involved, and we then go with that, and that's our due diligence.
No, thanks, Aki. That's really good, interesting insight, which then leads me on to, just to finish off, we ask for everybody, tell us a little interesting fact about yourself.
An interesting fact.
Well, I think he said off air something that was very interesting, if he wants to say that, but maybe about himself. About your child.
Oh, about my little daughter, yeah, Venetia.
Well, he's already dropped in that he's not the cook.
I think his daughter.
Have you noticed that?
That's a little name drop. His daughter being the first child to be ever born in Neom's quite an interesting.
That
fact.
Is correct. Yeah. So my daughter was the first baby conceived and born in Neom. So when Neom hits,
I love that you had to say conceived and born in Neom. Like, you know, we like the after effect, but we know how babies are made.
What I would say is, though, there were some that were conceived and not born there. That's the reason why I'm saying. So,
tick double boxes.
Yeah. So when we're going for the keys of the city to Neom, that would be an important point to mention.
Could it be a future queen of Neom?
Well, who knows? But at the moment, you know, she's loving Worthing, by the way, and she's got a little Worthing FC hoodie, which is her favourite.
She can't sing that song, "Living Worthing, Born in Worthing, Living Worthing, Dying Worthing." She's born in Neom, live in Worthing. Who knows where she's going to pass?
Actually, I'll tell you what. Well, the interesting fact is actually probably right. You mentioned Spencer's more on her. So this is her third Christmas, and it's her third different country she's lived in for those Christmases.
This is her first proper Christmas, I guess, with like the British-style Christmas.
Yeah, British-style Christmas. And first time she saw snow as well.
How did she react?
She loved it. She was out and playing it. Absolutely.
And what about yourself? Any interesting fact about yourself? You move on. You said the Queen. You name dropped that earlier. I got to enough. Oh, is that what you're going to say?
Yeah. Okay. So I won't go back on the Queen. I will say this. Back about too many years ago to remember, I dated Kate Moss, the supermodel, as well.
What?
Back in the day.
Really?
Yeah.
That's got me for another podcast. Surely.
That's a story for another time, that one.
I think we need to get you in the bar after that. You can tell us about that. Wow. That's
nice. Interesting facts. We keep thinking we're sort of like hit peak interesting.
Okay, I'll give you a sneak on that one. So I used to be a nightclub manager. And when I was managing this nightclub, she was the guest to come and open one of our bud bars. And I ended up by spending the evening with her. And she left me for Johnny Depp. Can you believe that?
Pirate, you know. ER, mateys or whatever.
What can you do?
Oh, she missed out there, mate. She missed out.
Her loss.
Keith, thanks very much for joining us, and I'm sure everyone will see you around the ground in the near future.
You're welcome, guys. Thanks for your time. Appreciate it.
This is the Rebel Yell podcast.
Well, Kate Moss, though. Kate Moss. Kate Moss.
Kate Moss, yes.
Yeah, he dated Kate Moss. You don't know who
Kate Moss is?
I don't know who Kate Moss is. Yeah, he dated Kate Moss. That was his interesting fact. He dated Kate Moss.
We have to be honest. I wasn't there for the
continuity here, Jacko. Come on. Right, he wasn't here. It was me and Spencer. Yes, anyway, Keith dated Kate Moss for a short period of time. And then he found out that Johnny Depp was then dating her because he was on TV. And he goes, that's why he never answered my calls. But listen back to the interview.
Bloody pirates.
Pirates of the Caribbean. Hey, who are me mateys and stuff. Thanks, Keith. And I hope that really does get the fans to know Keith, because I think, you know, thoughts about Paul, the last general manager, were very mixed between the fan base. You know, internally, it seems that he's done what the club wanted him to do, but, you know, they've got Keith in to bring it to the next level and what they want. And I from what I've seen so far, he's been very supportive of us as a support association. We've got a new board. We've got a pitch side board advertising Rebel Yell and the podcast and commentary in the support association. And, you know, from our point of view, to see what he's doing, I think it's brilliant. Don't you guys?
I agree. I think one of the things I said about Keith, when he's just started, he's got a presence. He's got, when he walks around the ground, he's got a presence and he's got things done. You know, and I had a few dealings with him, but I really like him. I think he doesn't say things for the sake of it. He says it and he gets it done.
Yeah.
And his goal is to move the club forwards.
Yeah, he's got the know-how. He's got a vision. The club's got a vision. No six match. And, you know, we can see the progress already, and there's a lot more to come.
Yeah, I think there's a lot more to come.
Fantastic. And another guest this month, a very special guest, kind of
royal.
Call him royalty?
I think he's royalty.
Royalty to us Worthing fans. George Dow, member of the British Empire, MBE. That's pretty amazing. Like, he's just become a father and he's now an MBE, and it's so fully deserved. I mean, we're recording in a week where
honours and stuff are coming to question, Miss Venables. You know,
I think James has got a bee in his bonnet about this.
Have you watched it?
It's very Rebel Yell related.
Have you watched it?
No,
it's really quite moving. But anyway, watch the Mr. Bates versus the Post Office. You'll see what I'm on about.
Are you
very
on
good. Well, it's red, rebel red. You know, of Post Office. But anyway, no. But this guy definitely does deserve an order merit from the.
I always said he's a legend, but he is. But you know, if you want, sometimes I think these honours get thrown about to, you know, because you helped an old lady over the street.
Well, we joke about David Beckham. There was that rumour for years that he was fuming that he didn't get his knighthood, but cause he expected to get one. And there was rumours and leaked messages and tabloids saying he threw his toys out of the pram because he didn't get it. And that's where you think the merit system is it really thing.
But it's if somebody deserves it, I think it's George.
Yeah. Well, we sat down with George and we haven't had him on the podcast since we won the Isthmian League end of last season. End of season before. God bloody hell.
Yeah.
It's nearly 2 years since we won that day. But George, come back on. We wanted to speak to you about that being far for the first time and just a little update with us. So over to you, George.
This is the Rebel Yell podcast.
George Dow, MBE. You actually deserve this merit, unlike a certain CB that's just been handed back tonight as we record, very deservedly so. Goodbye. So you fully deserve this, mate. Congratulations.
Yeah.
I mean, we've known you for a while now and, you know, you've been on the podcast. I think the last time you were on the podcast was when we won the trophy, when we won the title. And we had a good set. I mean, would you have thought, 18 months later, you're coming back on the podcast as an MBE?
MBA and a dad.
And congratulations on that. That's the next bit. Yeah.
I don't mean to jump the gun, but yeah, amazing end to my 2023, really. Yeah, obviously the birth of Bonnie and an MBE. Crazy. I couldn't believe it.
So you must still be pinching yourself. Like, when did you find out? Like, how did it, you know how it came about, but when did you find out and what's the whole process of it and finding out? So we know David Beckham was trying to pay people off to become a sir. I'm sure you didn't do that to get your MBE.
No,
but,
you know. Nowhere to start.
And I guess it's finding out and then you've got to keep it secret.
Yeah, so I found out about 3 or 4 weeks before it was published in the paper. So that was the 30th of December, wasn't it?
Three weeks
before that, I found out. They sent a letter here and then Keith called me and said, oh, you've got some post here and it looks quite official. I didn't think much of it, and then a couple of days.
Yeah.
the tax man.
Yeah. He's got the roll crest on it. Like, I've got tax man's on it.
Exactly. Yeah. So I thought I better leave that closed. And then, I got an email a couple of days after that that said, you've been awarded an MBE. And I thought, oh god, this must be
a joke.
This must be a scam or something. So I emailed I went on the honours official website, found their email address and emailed them and said, look, I've had this email, is there some sort of scam going around? And they said, no, that's genuine, can we arrange a phone call in the next couple of days? I was like, yeah, wow. And then opened the letter here and it was the same thing as was in the email.
And I bet some crass language could have come out of your mouth at that time, not believing what was going on.
Yeah, I was just gobsmacked because when I read the email, Jessica was next to me. I was like, I think I might have just been awarded an MBE. And she was like, what? I was like, I don't know. And she was like, and then she was reading it. She goes, yeah, this looks
legit.
And because the email address was all fine. Normally you can click on the email address and it looks like a dodgy one, doesn't it? But this one looked fine. I was like, no, this can't be real. And then, tracked down their actual email address.
So there was no inkling in the run up to it or out of the blue surprise.
Yeah. 100%.
That makes it even more amazing.
Yeah. And you got any idea who's put you forward?
No, I did ask him on the phone when I spoke to them. I said, like, how does this all work? And how have I been put forward for this, or who has put me forward for this? They said they couldn't tell me, but it's either a person or an organisation, and then someone else has to second it, and then it goes through to like a board of people that have been knighted, that sit on a board, and then they vote who gets them and who doesn't.
Well, I think it's kind of full circle, obviously, from your accident all those years ago to turn around the fortunes of this football club that you played for and, you know, a much unloved part of the town, but you turned into a National League South pushing for National League football, to what you do, your charity work, you know, your Instagram account with Jess, you know, that shows the life that you live. And it's amazing. So, you know, plenty of avenues where that recommendation could have come from.
Yeah, I haven't got a clue. And I did want to know when I was asking him on the phone, I was like, oh, who's put me forward for it? But then on reflection, I kind of don't want to know who done it, because I'd feel like every time I bumped into him, I'd have to thank him and be like,
or you'll find out it's somebody to do with like your awareness work, and then you'd be like, well, why didn't no one at the football club put me for?
I'd rather just not know.
Actually, George, it's Spencer, and he now expects a VIP golden seat in the stand. He's got his lifetime season ticket. Now he wants his golden seat, don't you?
As a result, would be interesting.
So, when do you actually get the award? When's that?
They said that they'd contact me within 3 to 6 months with dates to go up for the ceremony. I think there's 2 or 3 dates across the year that you can choose from. And,
yeah, so you could meet the King, it could be Prince Prince William.
I think the last
batch
was given out by William and Kate, I think. Yeah. But the batch before that was the King. And
Who would you like?
William and Kate, actually. Yeah. I think he'd be... I know I'm not going to get much chance to chat with him, but I feel like... He's a bit more down to earth.
Well, he likes football as well.
I feel like he'd ask you about football.
Yeah, exactly. Right. He knows his football. So.
Challenges. You've got to get him down to a Worthing game. You've got to say...
I'm going
to
take a shirt
You've got to say something. Can you get a badge sewn on your suit? You know, like the Man United ones they used to wear in Dave Ferguson with the crest on there. And you could try and drop it and say, right, the invitation... We went to Dulwich Hamlet for that Peter Crouch thing. So,
yeah.
No, we're better than Dulwich Hamlet now, I think, aren't we? I think that's a challenge, George, okay?
Yeah, well, definitely
and especially the King, if it's the King. Got to get the King and Camilla down, haven't you?
That'd be one hell of a photo, wouldn't it?
Yeah, so... So other than that, another congratulations in order, isn't it? Because you're now a dad.
Yeah.
Another story that people followed over the years and an amazing like achievement to get there. How has it been? How was the pregnancy for Jess and, you know, you watching that and then finally to be a dad? How old is she now?
She's 9 weeks. Yeah.
So it's about 11 months or 10 months now. Yeah. So
yeah, I mean... It's longer than that because we had to do the old IVF stuff. Mm-hmm. So it's been, even longer than a normal pregnancy, obviously. And we wanted to get set on the IVF journey because we were told, I think it's quite well known that it's unlikely to work first time. So it's good to get sort of the ball rolling, and it could take 2, 3, 4, 5 times before you, finally get one that works and fall pregnant. So we started the journey now. We probably would have, in an ideal world, had a baby at like 33, something like that, but obviously wouldn't change Bonnie for the world, and we're so grateful, and I'm so grateful that it did work, and that Jessica fell pregnant, although her pregnancy wasn't as smooth as we would have liked. She was quite ill, certainly in the first 3 months. She was pretty much sort of bedbound and very, very sick and ill, and then after that got a bit better, but was on and off being sick and stuff, so it wasn't the smoothest, and she was very clear from the start that this is going to be our only baby, I think.
But just gonna say, because obviously I'll follow your Instagram around, being a dad that suits you so much. The pictures of you and Bonnie and Jess, they are amazing. I love them. And just every time I look and I think, you look like a proper dad. It's lovely to see.
Loving it, to be fair. We all are, and it feels like she's never not been there, if that makes sense. It feels like Bonnie's... We thought when before she gave birth, it's going to be weird having a baby here, and we're actually going to be parents. Whereas now, even 2 days after we'd come home from hospital, it was like, God, I could not imagine life without
her. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Friday night Mackies, was that a thing throughout the pregnancy, or was Jess too sick, or was she well enough to have a Friday night Mackies?
That's all she looked for.
Was it more than Friday night Mackies? Was it weekday night Mackies instead?
No, no, we keep it strict, obviously, with once a
week.
And
when are you introducing Bonnie into Friday night Mackies?
Well,
or is you already...
this is it. We've already had, because we don't want her eating it that really early. We know it's not good for you.
Like father, like daughter. Then.
So our plan is... Well, when she starts going to nursery and stuff, we'll change it to Friday, but we'll have her at lunchtime when she's at nursery, so she doesn't
she doesn't get the smell.
She has to have the carrot sticks.
Yeah, exactly.
Carrot sticks and
bad habit.
So where did the name Bonnie come from, if you don't mind me asking? Is it any sort of family thing for Jess yourself, or is it just a name you stumbled across?
Yeah, Jess had a name of loads of girl names that I just didn't like, like things of bloody Disney programs and stuff. Like Esmeralda.
But what was the wildest one she came out with?
I don't think that, I always say Esmeralda, but I don't actually think that was on there. But
Elsa.
Things like that. It was just some crazy names in there I didn't like. And then.
Minnie Mouse Dell doesn't have a ring to it, to be fair.
And then, but yeah, then she came and she said, oh, what about Bonnie? I think she just, it almost popped into her head one day. So it's no ties to either of our families or anything like that. And as soon as she said it, I was like, I love that name. It's not too out there, but equally, you don't see many Bonnies around.
It suits. It's like, I've got
my cousin's daughter's called Bonnie, it's always a very nice name, and I've always thought, so yeah, it was nice to see that. I did tell her, oh, yeah, the owner of the local football club's name is, the name's his daughter,
girl,
Bonnie.
Girls' names are always nicer than boys' names.
Yeah, especially Spencer.
We find it difficult, to be fair. Yeah, we did find it difficult to find a name, and then as soon as we found Bonnie, we were like, yep, definitely go with that. And then, believe it or not, she was born on Bonfire Night, so...
Bonnie the Bonfire Night.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah. Everyone, a few people have said, oh, is that why you called her Bonnie? But no, we already had the name.
Oh, George, just switching quickly to the football. What are your thoughts on the season so far we're having?
I think if you just looked at it in sort of isolation, we're having a good season. We're still sitting in the top. Well, we want to be fine at the top of the league, and we are doing that. I think if you do it week by week, you could sometimes feel like, oh, what's going on at the moment? Because we're quite inconsistent, I think. Yeah,
it's a roller coaster. I think that's every podcast we've said. It is a roller coaster. It's because, as you've seen, we lose away from home 4-0, and then we smash, like we do the double over Eastbourne, and then lose to Chelmsford.
But it's so weird,
know?
Because even the games that we've lost 4-0, I think there was only one, I can't remember off the top of my head which one it was, that we weren't the better team in the first half.
But
then
Hampton,
we lose a sloppy goal and or give the ball away, and just before half time we'll concede or something, and then come out second half and we go for it, and then we just get completely done. And then when we go 2-0 down, we really go gung-ho, and then we end up losing 4-0. But if we just lose them games 1-0, 2-1 or whatever, I don't think it's as highlighted as it is because we got smashed 4-0.
Hmm.
I think that's only because we've gone to win the game and just been caught. But I know it's demoralising at the time.
Yeah. I mean,
I think we'll come back and win a game 5-1. Do you know what I mean?
It's exciting.
Crazy, but...
you don't say that when we've been beaten 4-0 away. No, that definitely.
It's tough to take, but yeah.
We get beaten by Maidstone 4-0 away. We beat them at home 5-1.
Yeah.
And then Maidstone beat Stevenage.
I know.
You know what? There's no... And actually, my son sat in the car a couple of weeks ago. We can get beat by anybody. We can beat anybody in the league as well.
Yeah,
I think the league, apart from Yeovil, well, still they could beat it, but it's so open.
Yeah, well, even when we played Yeovil Hill, I thought we gave them.
I think we're unlucky to have.
Yeah,
so. I mean, to be honest, I think apart from Yeovil, the league's pretty much open, because I think we're looking from bottom of the table to where we are, it's only about 13 points at the moment.
Well, I think
so
from
you know.
Second to seventh, it's only like 2 or 3 points.
Yeah.
It was on goal difference until last weekend.
Well, if we had won that last weekend, if we had won, we would have been second.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we'd have been second. And it just shows, and Hampton are sort of falling out of form a little bit at the moment, you know, and Averley as well. So, you know, I think it's going to be happening soon. So, what would you like, what do you see us finish at the end of the season? Do you think we'll make the playoffs?
Yeah, I think we'll make the playoffs. I think it goes to show you how well Hinch or the club is doing, considering all the fans don't think we've quite clicked yet, and we're still like fourth or fifth in the league. And in a lot of the games, even when we lose, we're the better team. We just haven't got that ruthlessness in the opposing box.
Yeah.
I think once we do click, and some of our forward players maybe lacking a bit of confidence that have come in, hopefully find their feet and find some confidence, I think, yeah, we'll have a really good end to the season.
Yeah, and like we were saying, how close everything is at the top.
Yeah.
How close some of those games have been, it's just been down to like one or two moments.
Yeah.
We could have had a different season where literally we've had two extra wins, and then suddenly it's a completely different story.
Exactly. And there's games out there that we could and should have won that we just didn't on the day. So, I don't want to bring it up, but there's been a few home games in the last couple of months where you think, oh, we've really dropped some points there. But yeah, no, I think once we build some momentum, I think we'll be good.
Yeah. Bonnie's on a 100% record at the moment, yeah.
Well, she is for games gone to, and when she wears her baby grow, we seem to win as well.
Okay, so can you keep doing it, please?
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
I mean, I don't think she'll have a clue what's going on, but she's a lucky mascot, you know.
I know.
It's clearly not a blue baby grow.
Yeah, it better not be a blue baby grow,
white.
No. Thank God for that. Thank God for that. Yeah, we've seemed to have quashed the unlucky blue after the Eastbourne away, haven't we? We'll have to see what happens down in Truro this weekend.
Yeah.
George, just before we let you go, obviously... Since we last spoken, lots of ground improvements and things about to happen around the ground. Must be an exciting time for when you first took over club. Obviously, it's just been announced about the west end of the ground, you know, the new terrace stand, which will be there, which will be fantastic. Keith said to us in the interview before that there's, you know, looking into the future possibly doing the north stand in the next couple of years to increase that capacity. I mean, the fan zone. I mean, when you took over this club, I know you had plans, but it's all sort of come to fruition now. And I'm sure when those works get done, you're just going to be like, wow, what have we done here? You know?
Yeah. It's always, I always try and sort of reflect a little bit when you're in sort of in amongst it all the time, you just kind of forget what you've done before because you're always looking for the next thing that you want to do and to improve for the supporters and for the team. So yeah, it's good to look back sometimes. And yeah, seeing that we've got the West Stand coming up soon, and then yeah, like Keith's mentioned, we've got plans for this front building and for the fan zone and for the North Stand. Yeah, to be planning these things out with an actual thought to getting them done and it being a real possibility is, yeah, obviously a really exciting time for.
And also the possibility of National League football as well, if you carry on going the right way, because it will come.
And our aim of sort of trying to become a full-time team within the next 2 to 5 years as well is exciting and will give us the best chance of getting that promotion.
It will be. George Dow, MBE. Thank you for joining us on the Rebel Yell podcast. And we look forward to seeing that. I'm sure it'll be all over the socials when you actually go and get it. And just remember, whoever it is, invite them down to Worthing game. I'm sure Pete will have them in his commentary box for the game or something like that. Thanks, George.
Nice one. Cheers, guys. Thanks.
This is the Rebel Yell podcast.
He loves coming on the podcast, doesn't he? We should get him on more often, don't you think?
I think at least every quarter. Well,
he's a father now, so maybe it'll be a good excuse for him to leave the house with Jess and the baby. So
I don't think he wants to leave the house, you know.
Yeah, or if Jess is listening, it's because he really likes to come to it.
Yeah, and he just wants to promote Bonnie and show his doting love for his daughter. That was it. Well, the exciting news as well is that Worthing FC going to be featured in a documentary. Unsure who the promoter is at the moment. So hopefully we'll be able to have more information in the future. But as people have seen them down filming at the ground, it's been cool to see. And it'd be great to have Worthing on the national TV again. Obviously, George in the past was on the Undateables, which brought a lot of attention to the club back in the day. You know, followed his life around, saw when he took over the club. So it'd be interesting to see how the documentary comes out, but that would be good. That would be good. I guess it will probably come out sometime in the summer. He'll get a football thing coming
after the
over.
Season, I think it will be a really good thing.
Be interesting what television thing. But great to hear from George as usual. And as I said, we should get him on a bit more often. But you know, it might be a bit harder now. We've missed our opportunity. That ship has sailed, I think. So without him being a father, and I guess that's an action-packed Rebel Yell podcast episode 5 of 23-24 season, guys. As again we said at the beginning, it's been a roller coaster of a season so far. It has been a roller coaster of a couple of months. What are we expecting in the next couple of months? Another roller coaster?
Yeah, that's the way the season's going.
The way the season is going, anything could happen, couldn't it? You know, you ask the question, has Yeovil won the league? No. They might think so. They might have 30 points ahead, I think. But anything is possible.
Yeah. We're talking a couple of months ahead. By the time we're a couple more months ahead, we'll be approaching the end of the season, won't we? We'll have a doctor arrive here, where we are and where we're going.
And I think from the Support Association side of you, we have to mention the sad passing of Sarah Cohen, our treasurer, and loved by Gary, the chairman's wife. It's moved a lot of us, haven't we, guys? I think it's fair that we can say that. It's a very emotional time. But our thoughts from Rebel Yell go out to Gary and the children and the family. I think the funeral's coming up, and Gary sent quite a generic message out there saying anyone's welcome. There'll be a passing by at Woodside Road. Is it the 17th of January, I think?
Yeah.
11:30, I think there's going to be a passing by at Woodside Road. Please wear your Worthing colours. So if you are listening to this and you can make it, please do come and show Sarah the love. Show her the love she knew she had anyway. But we knew it was coming, but you know, it's such a sad thing when it actually happens.
It was really sad, and I think, you know, the club can sometimes stick, but I think how the club dealt with it, that minute's applause before the game, I thought it was a great tribute to her, and I think well deserved.
Yeah, much love from us all, it's Gary and the family.
Yeah, she was a much valued committee member on the Support Association. For those who don't know, she was a treasurer. She did it for years, much to her chagrin sometimes and frustration, but she did a bloody good job at it. And Gary,
and don't forget selling programmes, she did as well.
And Sarah's programme hut. I love that touching movement. Someone lay up some flowers there after the passing of her. I'm not sure who did that, but that was a great touch. Thank you for doing that. But Sarah Curran, rest in peace. I know you're looking down at us laughing, me and Gary doing our horse noises or something stupid like that. Spencer's face just rolled his eye. You do a nice little touching moment, I have to ruin it for
Yeah, to bring it up.
No, I just remember her trotting around. I'd seen us trot around the living room when I went to see her just before she passed, and Gary and me had to do a trot for her. So, you know, that would be a lasting memory. But yeah, rest in peace, Sarah Cohen. Thanks again to our sponsors, MK Window Cleaning and Price Jones Electrical, for your continued support. Do listen to Rebel Yell on a match day live commentary with Pete. We'll tweet out, he's been a bit ill lately, so that's why there's haven't been some coverage at some games, but we'll try our best to get them on when we can. Tune into this podcast next month, because there should be a very special reveal on the podcast, and keep an eye on social media, keep an eye hopefully on more media, there could be something big coming, and we're very excited, aren't we, Spencer?
Yep.
That's all he's going to say on that. It's still top secret. Oh, wait till we get that out. But Jacko, you've seen what we're on about, and I think it's going to be quite an exciting thing for the sports association.
I think it's very exciting.
Yeah, and I think it's going to be good. So keep an eye out. If you've loved our t-shirts before, you'll definitely love these. And thanks for your support for purchasing those t-shirts. We've got a couple left, so if you do want one, do let us know. There's a handful left, and my wife literally wants them out of our house, so please do help appease James's wife by getting them out of our house. And then when this next thing comes out, please buy them, because again, James's wife wants them out of the house. Anyway, guys, looking forward to the next couple of months, or next month. We will be back in February, I promise. We won't leave it at 6 weeks this time, or 7 weeks. But for me, James.
Me, Spencer.
Me, Jacko.
Thank you for listening, and up the Rebels.
Up the Rebels.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.